Thank you. We have joined together to produce an energy plan for the country out of concern about the economic condition of our nation. This group, a bipartisan group, five Democrats, five Republicans, have worked over the last weeks in dozens of different meetings to produce a balanced, bipartisan, comprehensive energy plan to reduce gas prices and to secure America's energy future. That has been our goal, and we are delighted to be able to announce today we have reached agreement. We believe that it is critically important that any plan be balanced, that it include serious conservation measures as well as serious additional production incentives and means to improve the energy security of the country. This has been, I think, the way the Senate should operate on a bipartisan basis with respect for the views of all and an understanding the only way we can advance is if we do it together. I think that is the proud accomplishment of this group. Just very briefly, we're calling this the New Era Energy Reform Act of 2008, and here, very briefly, are the key elements. An intensive effort to transition vehicles to non-petroleum-based fuels. The goal, to get 85% of our cars and trucks off of petroleum-based fuels in the next 20 years. Second, a robust federal commitment to conservation and energy efficiency. The total cost of this bill is $84 billion, and it is fully paid for. We also call for targeted, responsible domestic production of our energy resources. On converting vehicles to non-fuel sources, we have $7.5 billion for R&D for advanced batteries and other technologies. That is over 10 years. $7.5 billion to help U.S. automakers retool. A $7,500 consumer tax credit for consumers to purchase advanced fuel vehicles. A $2,500 tax credit to retrofit existing vehicles with alternative fuel engines. On enhancing conservation, we extend the renewable energy and energy efficiency tax incentives through 2012. That's wind and solar and so much more. We provide consumer tax credits of up to $2,500 to purchase highly efficient vehicles. We expand the $2,500 tax credit for the purchase of hybrid electric vehicles. We provide $500 million for R&D to improve vehicle fuel efficiency. $2.5 billion for next generation biofuels and infrastructure to reduce our dependence on corn-based alternative fuels and move to other more advanced fuels. To expand transmission capacity for power from renewable sources, and over $2 billion in new funding for weatherization assistance. On responsible domestic energy production, we provide tax credits for capturing CO2 used to increase oil well production. And we open more acres for drilling. We open the eastern Gulf of Mexico. We also allow Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia to opt in for drilling off their shores while establishing a 50-mile coastal buffer zone where new oil production is not allowed. So both in the eastern Gulf, we provide a 50-mile buffer for Florida, no drilling within that 50 miles, and the same for Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, if those states decide to make that choice. We also provide advances in coal-to-liquid fuel plants that capture CO2, and we support the development of nuclear energy. This is a comprehensive bipartisan plan. It could not have happened without the great assistance of Senator Saxby Chambliss of Georgia, who has been the co-chairman of this effort, and who is really the person that came to me and urged us to see if we couldn't do something to break the partisan gridlock. Senator Chambliss.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Conrad. Let me first of all say that this effort, I think, epitomizes what the United States Senate is all about. Nothing gets done in this body without 60 votes, and you don't get 60 votes without a true bipartisan effort. And I just want to take a minute to, number one, compliment my good friend, my colleague, Senator Kent Conrad. We would not be where we are today without his leadership, without his cooperation, without his commitment. But let me say that this has been a cooperative effort on the part of all of these 10 members. This has not been easy. It has been very difficult at times, but it has always, the discussion has always taken place in a very professional way, even though sometimes it's been in a very direct way. We started out initially with two premises. Number one, we wanted to make sure that what we agreed to, we all agreed to. And secondly, that we wanted to make sure that whatever plan we came up with was paid for. And we have accomplished that. We're here today to talk about, obviously, the plan itself, but I think also just to assure the American people that the Senate does work in a bipartisan fashion when it comes to addressing crisis matters. And today we are certainly in a crisis relative to the energy issue. Let me be sure that you see only nine people up here. Senator Graham asked me to express his regrets for not being able to be here. You will have a statement from Senator Graham that will be presented to you today, who is in full support of what we're doing. We addressed two critical issues. We addressed the issue of supply and demand, which is has a direct impact on gas prices in America. And we also addressed the issue of conservation, which goes to the same issue of making sure that we do everything we can to move America away from dependence on oil like we are today, particularly foreign imports of oil. With respect to the supply, for the first time in decades, we are taking a step in the direction of lifting the moratorium for offshore drilling. We are actually doing that with respect to the eastern portion of the Gulf of Mexico, and also with respect to four states, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. First of all, those four states will have the opportunity through their state legislatures to opt in and be allowed to execute exploration at a minimum of 50 miles off their shores. This 50-mile buffer is necessary because we want to make sure that we operate in an environmentally safe and sound way, and with the technology we have in place today, we can do that without the danger of disruption, interruption, or operation of our beaches, which are today pristine, and we want to make sure they remain pristine. With respect to the eastern portion of the Gulf of Mexico, some of this was opened up during the 2006 bill, the 181 bill that passed. We are now moving east of there. In cooperation with the Department of Defense, we're going to open up areas, again, 50 miles offshore from Florida. There will never be any drilling within that 50-mile barrier. But we know that there's an awful lot of gas and oil in that region. We know that times have changed even since 2006 when we opened up 181. So we're going to provide for additional exploration in that area in an environmentally sensitive way. We are also looking to expand the coals to liquids issue and provide research and development money to ensure that we move down the road of exploring all avenues for potential petroleum use in this country. My state is moving ahead with the construction of additional nuclear plant. We are promoting that, and we're also providing money for research and development of nuclear recycling, which is a critical issue, something that will provide huge savings to consumers of electric power generated from nuclear power plants. And lastly, from a conservation standpoint, Senator Conrad has delineated the specifics of our plan to make sure that we incentivize manufacturers of vehicles to build vehicles that are environmentally friendly, that are operated with batteries, with powered by natural gas or or some other form of alternative to gasoline. We're going to continue down the road of promoting alternative fuels. Ethanol and biodiesel are a critically important component here. And I just cannot say enough good things about the cooperative spirit that this group came together with to produce this piece of legislation that we're going to be finalizing over the, from a language standpoint, over the August break. And I look forward to our debating these issues on the floor of the Senate when we get back in September. I now want to ask Senator Mary Landrieu to come up. Mary has been a leader, a very forceful leader, on this issue for many years in the United States Senate. She's been a great partner of ours in working on this, and I would ask her to come up at this time. Mary?
Thank you, Saxby. I am very proud to be a part of this group of senators that's worked very, very hard over the last couple of weeks and will continue to work together as we refine this product and reach out to our colleagues to ask them to join with us in taking a very, very important step for our country. In my view, this bill will do more to lower gas prices at the pump today than anything that this Congress has done in recent memory. Why? Because any change in trajectory will send a very powerful signal to future markets that could have, and I believe will have, a significant impact on reducing prices today. And that's what our constituents are asking us to do, to get the price of gasoline down and to move our country away from a very risky, very dangerous overdependence on foreign oil sources. And that is what we are attempting to do. This bill, as part, will open up more acreage to drilling than we have done in the last 30 years. It does so, as Senator Conrad has described, in the Eastern Gulf and along the south eastern coastal area. It significantly, in my view, provides and establishes for the first time a partnership with states that will share in the revenues generated from these new sources of energy. So the country gets more homegrown oil and gas, and the citizens get more revenues to use on projects that they deem important. It establishes a very powerful partnership, I believe, between the states and the government. Secondly, as part of our adding resources, this bill calls for a full and complete inventory of America's assets. I really believe the American people would like to know what oil and gas they actually own. And the technology has accelerated so much in the last 30 years that we are now going to require a complete inventory of all the areas of the country. And then we can make better judgments as to whether we want to explore there or not. And that is significant. And I want to share, finally, just a graph that shows what happens when you actually look for oil and gas. It's amazing, because you sometimes find it. When you look, you sometimes find it. In 1987, the country thought we only had 5 billion barrels of oil in the western and central Gulf. When we looked, and when we put our good old American ingenuity to it, we actually moved that number from 5 billion to 30 billion. So our group thinks it's important to look, important to use new technologies, and then we can decide how best to move forward. So that is really what I wanted to add to the discussion, the opening up of significant areas that are ready to drill and giving states options, establishing partnerships, and really relying on new technology and good old American ingenuity to get us to a safer place for our country. And with that, I want to introduce Johnny Isaacson, who really needs no introduction, but a great forceful member of our group from the state of Georgia.
Well, thank you very much, Mary, and I thank Kent and Saxby for the outstanding leadership they've provided. In the mid-1970s, I ran a business and was raising a family. And the Arab oil embargo caused the U.S. economy to have a terrible recession. A recession that was driven by scarce resources and high energy prices.